Morning to have with us Lindy Bartlett and his family. I'll have more to say about him before he preaches this morning, but just a few things. Lindy is 38 years old. He grew up around Amarillo, Texas. I've not asked him whether he considers himself a recovering Texan or not, but we're really glad he's here. He's married to his wife, Megan. Is Megan in here?
Probably taking the kids' class.
They've been married for 16 years. They have two daughters, McKay, who just turned 13.
No, she'll be turning 13 this month.
This month. And Sam, who is 9. Lindy has a bachelor's degree in history from West Texas A&M, a master's in divinity from Harding, a graduate school in Memphis, currently pursuing a doctor of ministry at Lipscomb. He's been in ministry for roughly 15 years, something like that. The last 10 and a half at the Oxford Church of Christ in Oxford, most of that time, 7 and a half, I think, or so, as the preaching minister. As I say, I'll have more to say about him when I introduce him before the sermon. Well, there will be more people here, but we are the time we have spent together already has been precious. No other way to put it. Last Saturday, and then yesterday, and having dinner with him last night, precious, and a precious family. Thank you for coming. And without further ado, Lindy.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be here with you. As far as being a Texan, I didn't know I ever fell off the wagon. you can take a boy out of Texas, but you can't take the Texan out of the boy. So let's get that straight right now. It is good to be here. I do appreciate all the hospitality. I enjoyed being with the church yesterday for all of you who were able to be here. And again, I know that I was looking forward to all those who were unable to be with us yesterday to meeting you, as many as I can today. I'm terrible with names, so I just beg your grace on that up front as well. It's been a wonderful process, just challenging, but... And I look forward to sharing, if I have the opportunity, more about the kinds of things that God has revealed to me throughout this process of discernment coming to this point right here. But I've learned a lot working with the search committee, and I can't affirm them enough for all the hard work they've put in. But it is good to be here. I do want to just say right up front. Okay. I want to say right up front, I told the man, poor sound person, that's a thankless job, isn't it? Everything... Until it goes wrong, and then boom, you're just cursed. You need to be close to somebody this morning that you can have a brief conversation with about the text, because this is going to be a little bit, I hope we can have some fun in here this morning. We're going to have a little bit more of an interactive class. So if you're not next to somebody that you can sit and sort of have just a short conversation with about the text that we're going to be looking at, you need to get close to them. So you folks who like to hang out on the margins, you need to come on in, eyeball somebody now. It'll just be easier that way whenever we actually enter into a time of conversation over Luke 10, verses 1 through 12. Luke 10, verses 1 through 12. So it's going to be a little bit unique, maybe something a little bit different this morning than you've done before. But I hope, again, it's going to be fun. It's going to center around listening. Listening. And yes, if you're with your spouse, that's going to be ideal, you know. What could be better than learning to listen better to your spouse, right? So I hope everybody's kind of found that person, because that'll save time once we get there. But it's going to center around listening this morning. It just strikes me as I think about being something, I've never been given this a title, outreach, community outreach minister. Outreach is a lot like mission. I hope that's something that we can connect on from the beginning. That community, we're talking about outreach, we're really thinking about mission. And I just cannot see how a people can be doing outreach or on a mission without learning how to listen to what God's doing in the world. Learning how to be a people who have ears to hear, as Jesus would say, right? And I'll say a little bit more about that language that Jesus spoke, you who have ears to hear, at the end. But I can't see how we would be able to, as God's people, to be effective at doing outreach or being a people on mission in this community if we don't know how to listen? I mean, if you're in here, you may be like me, I don't know, but I'm real good at talking. But I'm not so good at listening. So I want to invite you this morning, participate in this as an exercise that I hope you'll come back to again and again and again and again, as I think it's really healthy exercise for learning how to be better listeners. That we might be able to discover what God's doing in the text together, number one. That we might be able to better discover what God's doing in the other, whether that's a spouse, whether that's a friend, whether that's a coworker, or what God's doing in the community better. So, again, I just invite you to open yourself up to this. So what I want to do, I need a couple, at least one other person who might read a translation. We're going to start with the text, right? We're going to listen together at the text. So I need somebody to volunteer. I've already got your a translation. Well, if you've got a New International Version, you don't even need to do that. Does somebody have a New International Version? I mean, then we've got at least one. Okay, good. We can read it. So when I tell you, what I'll need you to do is stand up and read nice and loud. I've heard that we need to speak nice and loud in here. I may have to repeat what you say so that everybody can hear, and I'll try to do that. But I'll have you read in just a minute, Luke 10, 1 through 12. So what we'll do first this morning is we're going to listen together to this passage. And so for this first part, I want you to remember a couple things as we just listen to the text together. Number one, I want you to remember Hebrews chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Remember this morning that the Word of God is what? It's living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword, right? It's able, what? Divide soul from spirit, joint from marrow. It judges both the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And so, I just want to remind you that as we open up the text, and I'm not going to, and this is not, what I'm going to be doing this morning is not just necessarily going to supplant or do away with a traditional teacher teaching Luke 10 to you, okay? What I want you to do is remember that the Word of God is living. This is the living Word of God. And so as we listen, remember that as you're reading this text, it's alive. It's actually reading you. Have you ever thought about that when you read the Bible? That's kind of daunting. That it's a living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. And so as you read it, try to think it's reading you. And everybody in here this morning comes into this auditorium with joy. You come in here with sorrow. You come in here with something that the Spirit can do to bless you in some kind of area of need of teaching. You come into this auditorium in a need this morning of maybe a conviction of sin. Anybody ever dealt with sin? Right? So there's areas that maybe we need that the Spirit can work through this living and active Word to convict you of sin. I think these are all safe assumptions about the text that is living and active and about where we come as God's people. We come here with certain needs that the Holy Spirit, in other words, can give us through the passage. And if you don't make that connection, then we'll read it and you won't be open to, you might not be able to hear something that the Holy Spirit wants to give you this morning in wherever you are. Does that make sense? Okay, it's a little different, but does that make sense? Give me this or give me that and we'll go back. Okay, so we're going to start number one. We're just going to listen, but I need you to be open to where and attentive to what's going on with you this morning, because guess what? The Holy Spirit can speak through this text to give you something that you need. And I'd encourage you to write that down. If you journal, make a little note that connection. Because it's here for you if you're open to it. So that's the first thing we're going to do. All right, is we're going to read this passage. And then you're going to have a conversation about it with the person next to you. Okay? And you're going to listen to what that person heard. And then, this is where it gets challenging. You thought it was challenging up till now? And then you're going to come back and share not what you heard, but you're going to share what they heard. Which means you're going to have to what? Boy, you're going to have to listen. Husbands? Right? Because we're not going to be interested in, I love to share with you what I saw in the text. I love to tell you and talk about what I learned. But what I need from you this morning, what we need as the people of God, is for you to be able to listen to what they heard and reflect that back. And that takes some effort, takes some focus. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. All right? So we're going to listen to the text, then we're going to listen to each other, and then we'll come back and we'll have a little conversation about this and we'll be done. Okay? So, I've got at least two readings of this text. So I want you to kind of put your feet flat on the floor, kind of get yourself set back up in your seat, and get yourself situated to listen to the text. And remember, this is living and active. Do you believe that this morning? This thing is dangerous. Okay? And we're actually going to be in a passage on mission. Okay? I'll read. This brother's going to be offended already, but I'm going to ask you to tell me your name one more time, because then I get up here and get, Alan, I didn't even do that. I beat you to it. This brother called me up, and I'll tell you all later, but it's just, are you ready? Do you have ears to hear this morning? Now, listen, be listening for a word, some other piece, just a word or a phrase. You don't have to gulp in the whole text. Just a word or a phrase that speaks to you something. Don't overthink it. Just listen. And the Spirit will give you something that will go, you know what, this jumped out at me. And then you'll share that with the other person. It's real simple. It's just not easy. Are we ready? Luke 10, 1 through 12. I'll read. We'll take a breath. Alan will read. Then you'll share with each other and we'll come back. We'll see if we've got any brave souls out there to share. This is the ESV, English Standard Version. I'll pray before we begin. God, we do ask you to bless us this morning in the reading of your word. We do believe it is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It's able to divide soul from spirit, joint from marrow, and it can judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. As we read here that Jesus is going to send out the 72, and we think about it being a people on mission, we want to be able to learn to listen to his teaching. Then we want to be able to listen to what you're telling others and your teaching. That we might be able to discover what you're doing in this world. We don't want to be a presumptive people. We don't want to be a people who come into this world acting as if we have all the answers. We have the answer, but it's something that even we can get messed up. And one of the reasons we mess it up, God's because we don't listen. So help us this morning. And our time together here to be good listeners to this passage. Help us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to your feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near.' I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Just take a big, deep breath. Alan?
After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in the house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town."
Thanks. Excellent. Okay. I hope you found that friend that you can have a conversation with about this text, and I hope something of one word or phrase has come to you. But I want you to turn and spend a few minutes in conversation about that, and then we'll come back together and we'll sort of hear from you what you heard from them. Make sense? Go. Don't be shy. Go right ahead. That's fine. Take my wife. That's fine. Drinking my coffee.
Most of us.
What do you hear? Do you listen to my instructions?
Yes.
Do you hear anything?
I'm listening.
What do you hear? Because I'll share what y'all somebody heard.
Well, they were talking about Jesus said if nobody opened their home, then just pass them by.
Mm. What's your name?
Bruce.
Bruce, all right, I'm going to share yours. Bruce, what's your name?
Jared.
I'm Lindy. Bruce. So if nobody opened their home, just keep on trucking.
Keep running.
That's right, keep going. Yeah. That's right. Excuse me. Is everybody kind of ready to? We're not going to obviously have time to go through everybody, right? We're going to get a little bit of feedback, but you can have another minute or two if you need it. Do you need it? All right. I will start. Bruce, in the back there, shared with me that, man, Jesus said, look, if they don't open their home to you, for the sake of the kingdom, keep going. So that was one that I got the experience of sitting and listening to. So who would like to share? Let's just do several. What time do we have? Because my clock, my little Fitbit went dead, and I didn't get it. Huh? So what does that tell me? If we start at 9:30, we're doing okay on time? Okay. Okay. All right. So 10:15 is my target time. Let's go. Who would share? And I can either take the mic, or if you just speak up. But I think one thing we might want to do is just take the microphone. Did you have a microphone, Alan? Yeah. Good. All right. Who? Just a few. Just to share what you heard. Just kind of model this for us. Thanks, Alan. I know I got some takers out there. Go ahead. Who's going to do it?
My daughter shared with me, first off, you know, she didn't understand a lot of times the numbers that God chose. Why 72? Where did that number come from? And then I asked her, I said, why do you think he said, do not speak to anybody on the road? And she said that she felt like that was the fact that he's telling them to be focused, don't be distracted by something that gets in your way or somebody that takes away from your mission, whatever that may be, you know, a distraction of somebody stopping and talking to you and you might not get to where you need to be at the time or whatever. So her understanding was more of a stay focused on the goal, stay ready to do God's work and his will, and then just questioning the numbers, I guess.
That's powerful. I mean, look at the screen. It says what? Love God, love each other, serve the world. Don't get distracted. That's the kind of stuff I think the Holy Spirit gives us in times like this when we're discerning. Just little connections. Anybody else want to go next? You've got more than you think in there because it wasn't you, all right? Trust the Holy Spirit, okay? We don't need to take ourselves so seriously. I promise you. He can speak through you. He can speak through, what was that animal he spoke through in the Old Testament? I mean, I'm not calling you that.
Are you calling me that? That's the question.
As I handed the mic to David, yeah. I'm saying he can speak through you. If you take yourself seriously, then it just kind of shuts us off. Go ahead.
All right. I'm exercising my listening skills to my wife. She actually pointed out two things. She's an overachiever, so two things come to her mind. One is the fact that he sent them out two by two. She said that God did not intend for us to do mission alone. At least that's what she got from it. And I think that's a good point. And then secondly, he sent them out and saying that sent them into places that he was going to go. So they were going out ahead of him, planting seeds that he would then come back in and reap the harvest of.
All right, good. It gives me comfort to know that Jesus is his mission. He wants to go there. I mean, move that around, see, today. I'd have to sit with that for a while. That connection, the fact that Jesus is going to go there. What does that mean? What does that say about what he wants for this community? Who's next? All right. Excellent. What did he tell you?
It's what really weighs me down is you've got a big harvest, but you don't have many people working the harvest. And that puts a heavy burden on me, being a Christian, is not getting out and lightening that burden for Christ.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. All right. Who else will share what they heard? All right, Wade.
A couple of things. Michael shared some of it, too. He sent them two by two.
not going alone. You have that support. And the other thing is when someone offered them something, he said, take it, receive it. When somebody gives to you, receive it. I think we all tend to be independent. You know, so that's okay, thank you, but you know, I'll take care of it. You should receive. Michael made the point that if we aren't able to receive from others, we may not be able to receive from God what he wants to give us.
Boom. Drop the mic. I'm just kidding. Don't. think about one of the things that we have allowed the culture to affect us in is our individualism. Individualism is not of the gospel. It is of the culture. Okay? That rugged bootstrap stuff, that's not of God. God is community. That is profound. That is something I think the Holy Spirit, that's terribly important that we've got to learn to say, what does Peter tell Jesus when it comes to foot washing time? You're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus says to him what? If I don't wash your feet then... If I don't wash your feet, then what? You have no part with me. That's pretty strong language. So it is important that we receive.
I know I should have taken notes, but anyway, Phyllis was talking about the phrase there where it talks about don't take anything with you.
Mm.
It's not my efforts that accomplish what we're called to accomplish. Mm-hmm. It's not my power. It's God working through me. Mm-hmm. And just depending upon God for sustenance in this journey and depending upon God for the power that I can speak and tell the Jesus story in a convincing way through his power. That's what she got out of it.
That's why we need our sisters to teach us men, right? Because, I mean, it's about marshaling the resources. And that's not what this is about. It's about trust. And it speaks into our materialism, doesn't it, too? Right? Because you're going to have to leave all that stuff. And, whoo, what? My stuff? Don't take my stuff. Okay, now I'm getting a trend here with our elders, huh?
Leave your stuff in the storage unit.
That's right. Leave your stuff in the storage unit. Sell it. Now, we've had a lot of our shepherds here. I'm going to have to ask, come on. I see a trend happening here, and I'm just not. Who else wants to step out by faith, huh? Well, we did. See, that's the thing. Les shared, and Phyllis is. Stuff. That's Phyllis. Remember, Alan, that's Phyllis, which is beautiful. And that's why I said our sisters teach us men about faith. Because it strikes me that our sisters aren't quick to turn to sort of how to marshal the resources, but to turn to the God who is the one who has the cattle on a thousand hills, the one who has all the resources. So, who else? If we have time for another one, y'all have somebody else keep time for me this morning. Tell me when to stop, please.
What jumped out at me was in this passage that we are not to waste our time on those who do not want to hear.
That's strong. I mean, Jesus, there's just no way of getting around that in the text, right? I mean, it just strikes me to be very strong language that if they don't want to listen. If they don't want to participate in the kingdom of God. And I think that enhances, that tells me just how good this kingdom is. He must really think this is the best thing going. And if they don't want any part of it, you can't force them. Move on. And that's what Bruce said, I think. Is it Bruce? Yeah. What, did I get it right? Sometime. Being called worse, huh? No. Okay. I wrote down some of these things. I would encourage you. Now, let me tell you about this exercise. We're going to move to the final place here. It might end a little early, but that's okay. Just gives us some time to fellowship. This is actually an exercise that's done best in small groups. And I feel like we've had some reasonable success in a very large group. I'm telling you, You can do this with your spouse. Open the text. I did this for 8 weeks with six people in Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, and that was incredible. So I guess what I'm trying to say to you is I commend this to you with your spouse, with your children. You know, as an evangelistic opportunity to just sit down with somebody and say, let's just spend some time in this text. I'm not here to necessarily teach you. You're not going to teach me. We're just going to sit here together in this thing for on a coffee break for the next 8 weeks and just see what happens. And I can tell you right now, the Holy Spirit will show up and astound you, astonish you with what will happen if you'll do that. So I commend this to you. And I'm thankful for the insights that have been here. Because, see, what I said in the beginning was, this is really, we learn to listen to the text. We learn to listen to one another. We've got to learn to listen to what God's doing in the world. You know, when the Spirit was poured out at Pentecost, it was certainly we receive the Spirit when we're baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Acts 2 and 38 says we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And, not but, and I believe the Holy Spirit was poured out on this planet. That God is at work in this world. Do you believe that God is at work in places where we're not at? That He's at work in the lives of human beings who do not yet know His Son personally? Do you believe that this morning? I believe that with all my heart. That is terribly important. Because that means that as we come into relationship with folks, we want to come along. We'd certainly bring incredibly important resources. The Spirit of God lives in us. We're the temple of God. We bring, I mean, this book was written for the covenant community. Certainly we want to bring Scripture because we believe that God inspired Scripture. We bring this to the conversation. But we do not want to come into our conversation as if we sort of have already arrived and know it all. I hope you can say amen to that. That we recognize God's at work in this person. And I'll give you an example. I don't know if you've ever heard of Alcoholics Anonymous. Has anybody ever heard of Alcoholics Anonymous in here? Well, it just strikes me that one of my elders in Oxford just said that, and I don't know what you want to do with this, I'll just tell you, I'll lay my cards on the table, I agree, that God had to leapfrog over the church in the last 100 years. Almost 100 years that organization's been around, in order to help these folk get sober from alcoholism, because the church wouldn't be a safe place for them to be able to just simply find how to live out the Sermon on the Mount, because really that's all the program is. If you read the first 164 pages of the big book of AA, it's just an interpretation of the Sermon on the Mount, the most brilliant sermon that was ever preached in the history of man. Right? And you find that your life gets built on the rock if you do what Jesus says. That's what He said, right? And that's what they tried to do in that program. And people were getting sober. And I would submit to you that in throughout the years, if we would have been a people that were listening and seeing this, we might have said, what is going on there? How come, doesn't that need to be happening in our fellowship, the place where we have the Holy Spirit, the place where we have the Word of God, the place that we are to be the first and foremost, the signpost of God's kingdom on this planet? But see, if we're not listening, we miss that stuff. Does that make sense? We miss it. I don't want to miss it anymore, do you? I don't want to be looking at the taillights of anything else that's going on in this world that God is up to. I want to be in the headlights, amen? I want us to be leading as the people of God. Not trailing. I mean, God's going to go to work, and we're either going to get on board listening to what He's doing and get to work with Him, or He's going to move on. He loves this planet. You know? So I just submit to you that one of the first things we have to learn is how to listen. Like 20 times Solomon tells his son in Proverbs in the first 9 chapters, listen, my son, pay attention, my son. And that doesn't change. We can still become recalcitrant. people who will not listen to God and His Holy Spirit. Okay? God was at work in Cornelius' life long before Peter showed up. Help me, somebody. All right. Well, let me just give you a few takeouts here and we'll go. Number one, and if you want to jot these down, you can. I think it's important, and this is something I learned from doing this exercise last Sunday night with the church in Oxford. I said, what'd you learn? And I'm giving you this as a takeout because I think this is real important. You can take this home. Number one, when we're having a conversation with the text or with each other, we have to attend. That word has become important to me. Attend to ourselves. And here's what I mean. Oftentimes, when somebody's talking to me, I'm already trying to figure out how I'm going to respond to them. I'm already figuring out what they need to hear from me. Does anybody else suffer from that in here? Well, let's be a confessional group and raise our hands this morning. All right? Those of you who didn't raise your hand, just keep coming back, as we say. No, I'm just right? So husbands, all these different relationships that we have in life, we have to attend to ourselves, because if we're not paying attention to what's going on inside of ourselves, as they're talking, we're trying to figure out how we're going to refute, how we're going to add to what they need to hear from us, and da-da-da-da-da. That's not listening. Okay? And the same thing happens in the text. We have to ask God's Holy Spirit to help us, clear us, and attend to those distractions so that we can, Psalm 119, if you need biblical references to what I'm talking about and listen in the text, just listen to how many times the psalmist says, I meditate on your word day and night. Meditate. That doesn't seem to me to be, there's just a certain dwelling in the text that we need to have, just a sitting with it. Not trying to turn it and twist it and change it. Just sit with it. Listen. Okay. Does that make sense? So what that requires then is for us, this is hard, by the way. If you want to do this, it requires that we attend to ourselves. Number two. Question Dallas Willard, great Christian philosopher who died a couple years ago, has had a great impact in my life. He said this question, write this down, these two questions, great questions to ask in the morning when you get up. God, what are you doing in the world and how can I get on board with it? I mean, if you believe He's already at work, then a humble posture would be, hey, what are you doing and how can I get on board? And if we think that we sort of just wake up already knowing what God's up to in the world, then why would Paul pray in Ephesians chapter 1, that long intercessory prayer where he prays, I pray that the eyes of your heart be what? That they would be enlightened, that they would be open, so you would know the hope, that you would know the inheritance, that you would know the power that's at work. I mean, we are a people whose hearts need to be opened by the Holy Spirit to be able to see what God's up to in the world. And so just, I commend to you those two questions. When you wake up in the morning, just say, God, what are you up to? And how can I get on board? Try it. And then come back and talk about what did you learn that day. It might surprise you what the Holy Spirit does in your day. Just asking those two questions. What are you up to and how can I get on board? Number three. And this is what I told you in the beginning that we would come back to, that I think has the most weight and authority and just strikes really fear of God in me, and that's when Jesus says, you who have ears to hear, let them hear. And whether you're on board with me this morning in this approach to sort of listening, you cannot get away from the fact that in both the Gospels and in the book of Revelation, Jesus is going to say to individuals and to the churches, I'm looking for a certain kind of listener. That we have to become a certain kind of listener. Some have ears to hear, and some know how to listen, and some don't. And I think the ticket there is that old boogaboo word called humility. That's tough. But if we're going to be able to be a people who can discern what God's up to for us in our study of Scripture, if we're going to be able to learn how God's at work in the other person, if we are care to know, if we're going to be able to discern what God's doing in the world, we've got to become a people who have ears to hear. Let me pray with you. God, we come to you this morning. We thank you so very much for the way you've shown up, the insights that we've been given about mission. Even though this class wasn't necessarily about Luke 10 per se, we do sense your Spirit gave us some connections about mission this morning. And I pray, God, for your people here, for us, for the world over, and particularly, God, for this good church that meets in Columbus, Mississippi. There's an incredibly and terribly important conversations and mission work to be done in this city. And God, we cannot do it without you. God, we don't want to be watching the taillights drive away. We don't want to be on the sidelines. We want to be right in the thick and the midst of the mess and the suffering of this world, being salt, light, and leaven. But God, we ourselves are broken people, and we bring our mess and evil to this world. We can see that by the way the disciples responded to Jesus. God, we are broken. Unless we learn to listen and become attentive, it's going to be difficult for us to participate in what you're doing, God. And I don't believe there's a person here, Lord, this morning that doesn't want to stand up and say, you know, I don't want to be doing what God's doing in the world. But I do believe that there are forces within us, and certainly forces on the outside of us, God, that are doing everything they can to keep us on the sidelines. May it not be so. May we be more about your glory, the face of your glory, and your beauty in this world than our own paltry, at times selfish, desires. I thank you so much for this time this morning. What a sacred, sacred space you made for us, and a great time this morning. I pray blessings upon your people in the name of Jesus. Amen.